This conference is being recorded.
Walker Fire Protection Association January board meeting. An agenda? All right. We have the agenda that was passed around. Chuck, you had added some things. I've added them in there. Rudy, the stuff that you were talking about can be done in the committee reports, I think. Okay. So does anybody else have anything to add to the agenda? Okay, I have a motion to approve the agenda.
Motion.
Second. Audio. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Anybody, Sharon, if you want to come in here, you want to say something before we start?
About
anything?
The trash.
All the trash.
I have a problem.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
You know, even though we checked my spot that area Monday, they're all, because it still doesn't get any sun, right, by those,
shows that he's going to go ahead and file the affidavit with the state, so we'll be all set then. And I've placed that in our files as well. And we did have a pending question about whether or not we needed to refile the revised articles with IRS. I did talk to my attorney. I was back in Chicago for the holiday. I talked to my attorney there, and he handles 501c3 organizations quite often, and said there's no requirement from the IRS, and since there's no requirement, there's no reason for you to do it. So we should be fine with the way we are. But if the board wants to pass it over to Bill for, you know, a final disposition, we should talk about that. And we did some more updates from Sharon on some new addresses. So I've applied that to our database. That's up to date. And I think that's all I've got. Short and sweet.
Have a motion to.
I'll make a motion to
dispense with
the
reading
of.
Okay. And a second.
Scott.
Okay. Any discussion about the secretary's report?
Well, I guess I'm interested in the part about the attorney. If I can't see any, do you want to go around and ask people what they think about that, or?
Let's do the minutes. Okay.
Okay, fine.
Just about the minutes. Okay, the minutes are all in favor.
All in favor.
Order.
Aye.
Okay. All right, now, any discussion about the secretary's report? Scott?
The filing of the IRS, they don't need it. If you ever get audited, they might look to the contents of it to see whether it affects the issue at discussion, but they don't even read it when you file it. It's just that if you ever were getting audited and there was a particular sticking point, they would refer to it. But in that case, you could say, here's our updated minutes, and here's what our guidelines are. Will that ever happen? Probably not. If it ever did,
we're covered.
Yeah, so I wouldn't worry about that at all.
Okay, thanks. Roger?
I did talk to Bill about that, and he said, basically, you had raised the question. He said, if you want me to research, I will.
Okay.
About it, so.
Yeah, and I don't know where that question came to me. It came to me from somebody during this process of replacing the articles.
Well, he said he thought we had done that before.
I'd
be happy to look into it.
Okay.
Anything
about?
No.
Okay.
Resolved. Good.
Treasurer's report. Oh, wait, let's go back to the president's report real quick. what's his name with the website? Sorry, it's done.
You have to get a second for that.
Yeah, Chris has asked me to get the calendar out to him, and so we need to get our calendar.
Which calendar?
The calendar for the activities for the
whole year.
Part. Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
Year. So we need to just get that kind of stuff.
So Rudy
out
and I will do our part that has to do with fundraising, and then anybody else that has.
Right.
Something that's involved dance, like dances, things like that?
Yeah. Dances, yeah. Bingo, pancake breakfast, you know, all that sort of stuff.
Okay.
Okay. Treasurer's report.
Did everybody see my email?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which one?
The good one?
So, before I even, I'm not going to reiterate a lot of stuff. I already wrote in that, but I don't write a lot either, so. But understand how these budgets are done so that you can understand why, you know, they may not be the greatest thing in the world, but budgets are all done based on history, you know, when what month things land. So you take the previous year and you look at it and you pretty much use that as a template of how money's going to come through the door. Last year, a lot of money came in at the end of the year, the end of the fiscal year. Matter of fact, remember, we got our letter out late last year, so a lot of money came at the end of the day, late of the fiscal year, but it also got into this fiscal year. So, having said all that, you know, I'm just couching all this great news that, you know, we'll see. I mean, the bottom line, as I said in the email, which I didn't print out, so I got to come over here and look, but now for the year to date, was it 7 months through December? Yeah, we anticipated that we would have expenses. Well, let's start with net income. We usually at this time of year we're in the hole $35,000 because again the money comes towards the end of the year. Yet we're plus almost $20,000. Hence we're $54,000 ahead of last year. But I just can't believe all this new money is arriving. You know, I'd like to think that's the truth, and we'll know at the end of the fiscal year. But I'm just couching that. I mean, we have a lot of cash in the bank now. We're up to $133,000 in cash, which is more than we've had in a long time. So that's my treasurer's report. Expenses are down, and that's really helped a lot. Thank you, Roger. Seriously, you know, we anticipated for the first 7 months to spend $73,000. We spent $52,000. So in addition to a lot more income, we're $20,000 to the good in that respect. So tomorrow, having said that, an engine will blow, will cost $15,000, you know.
Sure. Well, we're covered for it, though.
Okay. Yeah. Anything for the treasurer?
Why? That is fantastic.
Yeah. Well, I think that I expected this increase in donations that come last year because the things had calmed down so much, and the community is very generous, and they are habitually giving us money. That they're just used to doing it, and then for a couple of years they had this turmoil and things kind of slacked off. And there were special fundraising efforts during that time period, too, that cut down on.
I think it did come last year, Bill. It came in the form of the Big Bug station.
That's right, the Big Bug.
You add that to the other.
Right.
Yeah, and so I think that we'll find the big influx comes after we write the newsletter that we'll talk about later. That's kind of a dues request at the same time that comes in March, April. And that's the last couple of years we have had a big deposit come from that newsletter that comes at the end of the year. And that's we get a big chunk when we write the dues letter that we just did in September, and we get another big chunk when we remind people about it. So I think the atmosphere has been so good that I think people will continue to, and we will, I think we'll have another, you know, pop come in. That's my view anyway. Russ?
No comments. No.
Question, are we having any more participants in the donations than we've had, or is it the same ones that are giving a little bit more generously?
I don't know. I don't know. I have to look.
Right.
Well, frankly, we don't.
Is there a way to do that, or ones that hadn't donated?
There's not a way
to
do it automatically. You could run a report probably on each individual, which would take freaking forever. But there's,
and it might not be that accurate.
Yeah, it wouldn't be that accurate either.
He actually can run.
Sorry. No, that's all right. Go ahead. Crosstalk's fine.
I would just like to see, as I agree with what you were saying there, I'm just curious to see if we can quantify that, the people that were disaffected coming back or brand new people.
Sure.
You can look through it because I know the people that haven't been paying, and we all know who those people are, and they are starting to give to different things and what have you. So there's no question people are coming back.
Okay.
But there's always somebody that's pissed, so don't, you know.
Right, for one reason.
I mean, that's just Walker.
Roger?
Just reiterating the expectation that, you know, a department like ours, spending is going to be kind of come in waves or be lumpy. You know, I guess this past year, whatever time frame you're talking about, is one of those things.
Yeah,
you know, the year before, we had serious problems with one of the water tenders. So expect future lumpiness.
Right.
Where'd that money come from that you had put out there, Vic? We're trying to find where that donation came from.
Oh, the $350?
Yeah.
Find out. I emailed the keeper of all knowledge forever, Greg Staba, and he said he had a clue.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I looked on the stub. I looked on the thing. It was from Schwab Charitable. I guarantee you what it is. It's a matching
fund. Yes.
Fund, but usually they always put the name of a fundee. You know, but in this case they didn't. And nobody gave me any information that to expect it either.
Sure. Could that have been an old grant request?
Pardon?
Could that have been an old grant request?
From Schwab, Charles Schwab?
I don't know.
I can't imagine what that would be.
The donor may have chosen, despite
not agreeing, he keeps sending them out. You know, I cashed it then.
Despite being so small, the owner may have wanted it to be anonymous for who knows what reason.
Sure. Whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, but even if they want to make it anonymous, you couldn't make it through the Schwab Charitable Trust, I wouldn't think.
No. Chuck? In answer to the list of who the donors are, he can make an Excel spreadsheet pretty quickly out of QuickBooks. And we've had it periodically. In the past, that was abused. The president had that thing, and then he would berate people for not donating. I haven't really asked for it for that purpose at all. But we can get a picture of who's donated, and you can work the Excel spreadsheet around pretty easily.
Could you even say how many people donated this year versus last year without even giving the names?
Absolutely.
I mean, if it was just 150 last year and it's 200 this year, then I'd say we're going in the right direction.
Sure.
But again, what it won't tell us whether or not, if somebody really wants to sit there and sift through it, they could determine whether those people have given later in the year last year.
It's a sort. You can sort it. And the one we did have, he gave us one for a couple of years, and you could compare from year to year how much they had given them by the dates.
I know. I did the sorting.
Yeah. Okay.
But that doesn't tell you the people. You know, that just lumps the dollars by, because you can have income by month and averages over a period of years. But this is QuickBooks. You might go buy a Razor's Edge for $50,000, you know, and then hire somebody for another $50,000.
Well, you just dump it into Excel. Okay.
Well, for some of the new guys that, you know, weren't here 5 years ago, I came onto the board, and I think we were getting close to $150,000 in savings. And then we needed this Engine 86, the big one. We needed that thing, and that was $40,000 all done, shipping included and all that. We were down to $110,000. We had some other expenses. We're at $100,000. Now we're at $133,000 and some change, and that's it. That was a big lump. You know, you talk about lumps coming. That was a big one. But, boy, we needed that, and we had the money at the time. So this system seems to be working, you know.
Have a motion to accept the treasurer's report.
Oh, boy.
You're the mover today. Second?
Everybody else is asleep.
Damn near right.
All in favor? Okay. Fire chief report.
Can I add one more little piece of this? I don't know how many of you guys look at financial statements. I know Scott says all the time. But, you know, bankers, first thing they look at is the net quick ratio, you know, on a statement, which is the ratio of current assets to current, liabilities. And usually they figure a company is good, you know, two parts, you know, assets to one part, liabilities. We're like 300 to 1 or something. I mean, it is incredible because we have no debt. We have no nothing. There's nothing down on the liabilities.
We're healthy, but we don't have a consistent stream of income. It's been consistent,
correct,
but it's not
not guaranteed.
Not guaranteed.
Right.
Yeah. that it?
Sorry.
Is that it? No, it's fine. Roger?
Okay. Chief's report. Just one medical call last month. Training, we had an AAR/pizza party to recap the whole year, which was kind of an interesting year, so that was productive. The other training we had was on fire tactics, a scenario for a structure fire. We're going to do a little bit more of that this year. From Powick, that HIZ zone assessor course that was going to be in December is now planned for up here from January 25th and 26th. If you're interested, if you have Lauren's contact information, you can get in touch with him, or I can put you in touch with Lauren. But that's a useful class. Facilities, nothing has frozen, and this is noteworthy. Last year we had a serious problem, and Gene Tomek and Keith Barwick fixed it, apparently successfully. So that's a positive outcome. Base and ops group, this year's event will be an all-hazard event on April 3rd and 4th. We'll have some of our guys participating on the boots on the ground or the engine company day on April 4th, like we always do. Western Yavapai Chiefs Association, we participated in the SCBA grant, which, I mean, I can recap that if anyone needs me to, but that was submitted back in December. We're waiting to hear, and I'm not sure what I have no expectation of time to set as to when we'll hear on that.
Rudy, I think there's somebody out there. I don't know if they're not coming in because the door's closed or what. Is Trevor out there too?
What was that pizza party? AAR?
After action review. We kind of recap the whole year.
So that's just a Walker thing.
Well, AAR is a firefighter term.
Okay.
So after there's a fire or any sort of incident, you have an after action review of it.
I see. Gotcha.
And so we kind of did that for the whole year.
For the whole year.
Yeah.
Cool. Cool.
All right. So the big one here is ISO. We heard from ISO. They're coming.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. I'm surprised. I'll read this as I've got it on my sheet here. We received a call, and it looks like we may have to go through the process of reaffirming our 8B rating. The firefighters have been made aware of this. I set the expectation of needing to practice often. That's the water test where we move 4,000 gallons in 20 minutes. I also plan to ask people from other departments to help us ramp this up. I've spoken to ISO. The first step is pretty intensive paperwork process of providing them information. The ISO rep seems like he'll be easy to work with, an expectation set by Glenn Brown a couple of years ago. With this is going to take a while to roll out. I spoke to Todd Bentley this week. I saw him at another thing. And it took them, although they're going for a, or they went for a, you know, a better rating, took their department months to work through this. You know, he made that sound like it's a negative for us. That's not necessarily the worst thing in the world. The paperwork, it's really going to have to be a team effort. And again, I've set this expectation with the group. We're going to start working on this next week. This water test thing, it's, if you don't know, it's to move 200 gallons per minute for 20 minutes, 4,000 gallons. There's, you know, it's like a science problem or a physics problem. Mark Keegan is all over it. This is really up his alley. So we're very fortunate that he's going to be involved. But it's going to be a lot of practicing of this test and a lot of time put in by a lot of people in terms of putting the information together. For one person, you know, it would really be a bummer to have to do alone. But I think the group is pretty committed to helping. And, you know, where we get 15 people putting in an hour or so, it kind of knocks it out. But it is going to carry on for a while. I'm quite confident that we'll be able to get it done. You know, they're not out to get people. They're not out to, you know, try to fail anybody. We've got the equipment. We've got the right fire, you know, type 1 engine. We've got the capacity. The gallons per minute of the water tenders, I double-checked with Central Yavapai. Looks like that's going to be adequate. So it's really just practicing it and, you know, kind of stressing, you know, the commitment for the group. And I think we put the right carrot out in front of everybody, which I'm pretty good at that, then this is going to, you know, go pretty well. It's just a process that we're you know, all have to live with for what could be a few months.
Right.
So that's that. I mean, as far as, you know, I'm glad to take questions at the end of my report, but it, you know, it's just, it's a process that we're just going to have to live with for a little while. Oh, yeah.
With that, duty, duty. You got a water tender?
Yeah.
You got a pump without, yeah.
I meant to say cue the ominous music.
Perfect.
All right, so next up, VFD grant discussion. I said that I would make a handout to kind of prepare. I mean, you all replied favorably, or most of you replied favorably via email, and so that's all good. But in terms of making a kind of an informed decision, I put together a list. I mean, we don't have a, you know, if we wanted to, we could spend, you know, figure a way to spend all the money that's available. As a recap, it's $20,000 of available grant money as a maximum, but it's a 50-50 grant. So, you know, all in it's $40,000 worth of stuff if we were to try to max it out. We don't really need to max it out. I put together on, this is one of the pages in the grant for you all to kind of take a look as far as what I'm thinking at now that as they appear aren't overwhelming, but remember we are potentially on the hook for maybe $4,000 or $5,000 from the SCBA grant if that comes. That one was a 90-10. And I don't think there's partials. I think it's we either get it or we don't, period. So we're potentially on the hook there for $4,000 or $5,000. So I guess, and given the dollars involved, I guess I want you either to approve it or turn it down as far as whether we move forward. To be clear, the stuff that's on here we absolutely can use, but it's not an immediate urgency for what's here.
Is it likely that a grant like this would come up again at a 90-10, or is that pretty unusual for equipment? I mean, I like buying stuff at 50 cents on the dollar, even if we don't do it for 2 years. But if an equal or a better grant would be coming along in that period of time.
Talking generically, and maybe Lauren will have a better sense of this than I will, you can't make any assumptions about future grant opportunities.
That's true.
This is federal money. The starting point for this is federal money administered by the state. There could be, but you know, there's no way to know, and if we get a 90-10 grant that comes down the line. I mean, this is a pretty far-reaching grant as far as structural, wildland, you know, there's all sorts of moving or potential moving parts to it. Mm-hmm. And so if we get a 90-10, depending on what that is, that's probably an opportunity to think much bigger in terms of, you know, this particular one, capital equipment is not, their expenditures is not part of the equation, so no trucks, but, you know, if we get a 90-10, we might want to think about trying for a vehicle at that point.
Right.
If it's permissible.
Yeah, I don't even know if those come up, maybe.
Yeah.
So this is like a Title II grant, or?
I don't know that terminology.
Oh, I see.
Okay, Roger, do you want to interrupt your report for us to decide on this particular issue, or do you want to finish your report and then?
I'll just finish real quick. I just got two other things. We've talked a couple of times about GPS stuff in terms of response. So Firefighter Green Hall has come up with an excellent solution involving cell phone boosters for the trucks. Smartphones will all have GPS-like apps that can get the job done, so boosting the signal could be effective. These would be permanently affixed to the trucks, however many we would buy. He estimates the expense of $260 per unit, and I believe we would need at least two of them, possibly a third. We certainly don't need one for every truck. This is the type of thing that I could probably throw into the grant. So if it's three of them, if it's $260, if that's $780 divided by two, if I'm doing that correctly in my head, so that's another, you know, less, just under $400 added to the grant. The idea here is we would have one on the rescue for sure. If we only had two of them, then we would need to decide whether to put one on the structure engine, which I'm kind of leaning to, or first due for wildland, which is probably Patrol 80. A third one would address that issue altogether. I mean, we're never going, you know, our water tender's never going to be the first one on scene, and one of the old Type 6s isn't going to be the first on scene. But so I thought this was a great idea. Last thing on my report, next board meeting, I won't be here. I've got my EMT refresher. I'll write up a report and submit it, and you all can read it or not aloud, but I'll submit a report, of course.
Okay. Well, let's take these in order from the grant, the VDFD, VFD we have, VDIS. And, okay.
Let's have go the other way, because he's asking if we want to do the GPS, we want to add it to the grant. So why don't we talk about the GPS?
Okay. It's fine.
Well, I mean, the dollar threshold of the GPS is low enough that I don't know that that requires a motion. It's
right.
Been board business, and so I'm bringing it back. If there's discussion, cool, but I don't know if there's a vote.
Okay, so. Okay.
Because I think that when we talk about GPS, actual GPS units on the trucks, the booster is a good idea for the GPS or for a cell phone. And the only question I have on the cell phones is if it's a recent model cell phone, I think those are probably adaptable. So those, some of them are. Some of the cell phones in this area are pretty, bad. So I guess my suggestion would be if we're going to go ahead and do the grant thing, I would encourage buying a couple of GPS units, and they'll work on the boosters. They'll work the GPS units with the boosters, and they're probably a couple $100 too. So they would be specific to the truck. So you'd have a booster and a GPS unit or automatically unit.
Chuck, I'm a little confused because you have a regular GPS that's going off the GPS system, which is not coming off the cell tower. On the smartphones, they do go through
cell towers,
but the regular GPS go right to the GPS.
But satellites have a booster on it, too.
Rip. I think that I have one in my car and it works perfectly.
It works
right
pretty
here.
Good. Yes, it does work pretty good.
The GPS you're talking about.
GPS.
Okay.
So I guess if that's the case, then do we need the booster in a cell phone or do we just put a GPS in the medical?
Okay. Hang on. Okay. So your suggestion is that the booster is an okay thing, but you would prefer a GPS unit itself.
Yep.
That's okay. Vic?
I thought we had GPS units. Didn't we buy some?
We've got a couple of older ones that take, the nature of them is that they take so long to warm up that we're halfway.
Really?
They have
the modern ones don't have that anymore. They're,
yeah.
They're on instantly.
Didn't we just get a computer or something?
We've got a Kindle, yeah. I mean, we've got a Kindle that was donated.
Okay, right.
It's got Joyce's PDF.
Okay.
Very robust.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of looking toward, kind of thinking about trying to improve this. So,
mm-hmm.
Our expense at this point is Joyce's time, which,
mm-hmm.
We're
right.
grateful for. Thank
right,
you.
Right, right.
Yep. But that's,
okay,
that's
so,
where we're at.
All right. So we're talking about the GPS booster.
Versus.
What is your thoughts on the GPS versus the booster? And are the combination
I think
they're of both?
Entirely not connected at all. First of all, I think all of our main trucks should have a new GPS on it that works well.
Okay.
Because this is a tangle of crap out here that anything. Secondly, I use boosters all the time for the cell. Matter of fact, that's how I got my internet when I first moved here. I put an antenna outside and put a booster on it. What a booster won't do is boost something that doesn't exist. So before we buy a lot of stuff, I would recommend getting one and driving around and just seeing how effective it is, because even with a booster, if the signal's not pinging at all, you can't.
Was the GPS getting it from the satellite or from a booster?
The GPS signal's getting it right from the satellite.
Right. Okay.
Not if you're using from a smartphone, though. The smartphones.
Right. You're calling the phone.
So you need a standalone GPS, the new one that's new, because you're right, the old ones didn't find satellites quickly. They just search it. You're right. You're on them. By the time it's searched, you're done. But the new one, it's a matter of seconds before they pick it up.
John?
Boy, whatever works. Obviously, if we could throw it into the grant, great. Other than that, I don't have any interest.
In terms of the equipment, in terms of both? Or?
No, in terms of the equipment, whichever one seems to work better. I mean, if it's GPS that you need, if you don't have to go through a phone.
I don't think it's either or. I think it's both.
Really, I see.
Absolutely.
I see.
Both. And then it's just not that expensive.
Mm-hmm.
That's we go out and spend all this money for a truck, and if you can't find the fire,
mm-hmm. right.
Or call your other firefighters, it's a problem.
Well, I agree that the GPS sees the sky and can tell you where it is. The booster has additional things in, besides the GPS that are useful at the fire scene. So, and if you talk to the younger generation who is involved in all this sort of stuff, but the booster, that would be Matt, the green hole guy that presents this thing, but and Roger. But I think that Bob had a booster in his truck, and he got service almost everywhere, but you're right. If you drop down behind a ridge and you don't get signal, the booster does not work because it only boosts signal that's there. So, but for the majority of the places that we're going to be, I think the booster would probably be okay and work. But both systems, in my view, would probably be a good idea too. And I don't know why we don't have GPS in all the trucks. I mean, it's just whether or not they use them or not. But I would also think you had mentioned that we only have one of those
Kindles.
Right. And we could use another one or two of those, too. I mean, those, I don't know what your thoughts are on how, has that been useful for you, that map that she's drawn and that Kindle, which have you used it, I guess? That's the question.
Yeah, I mean, this is really about, you know, some future unknowable event. I mean, the reality is, just as and this is backward looking and just a function of circumstance perhaps and luck, a call I've been on, I've known where everything is. So it's like a call comes in, well, I know where that is, so, you know, we don't need this, that, or the other.
Right.
And that's the reality. We've got other people that don't necessarily know where something is, and if I'm not on the call, which is rare, I mean, it's a rare, you know, you don't have a whole lot going on other than being on the computer. But that's kind of the reality up to this point. The potential utility is off the chart. I mean, it's absolutely essential in terms of buying. You know, I'm not going to say no to more gadgetry. Good heavens! I mean, that would be great in terms of perceived need. The only place a cell phone doesn't work is right along the bottom of Walker Road. Everywhere else, you know, the Hoot Owl fire. I was getting emails. You know, it's way out in BFE. I was getting emails asking me about the fire. So it's the nature of how the technology, the service has evolved, you know, the cell service, it works. In terms of throwing it all into the grant, it is all fair game, no question. Tablets, if we get a cheap tablet, I don't think that a Wi-Fi tablet would work through a booster. We would need to get, you know, have someone donate off of their own account, which I mean, I think I'm getting a tablet, so maybe that's something I can work out. But a tablet would be useful for what it has on there. There's certain apps, you know, like the the Pocket Guide. I've got an app on my phone for it, and so this kind of information can be available on a tablet so that it's bigger. You know, we can use all of it. I guess that's a long-winded way of saying we can use all of it. It's how much we want to commit. And we don't need for every truck. That's crazy just because, you know, we need whatever is reasonably a first truck do, the rescue, the engine, and to stretch maybe four because depending, 85 or 80 is the first do on a wildfire.
Okay. Russ?
I think it's a good expense. My question would be, would it be looked at as, if we go with a grant, add it to the grant, would they look at that not favorably and deny the rest of the pieces that we'd like, you know, off of the grant?
I'm not sure. What's the question? What kind of question? I don't understand.
How many fire departments do you hear of that have Kindles
for all the trucks?
Do they?
Well, actually, what they have is there's a couple of different computers on a truck that are much more expensive than, you know, they're called MVTs. To outfit a department with MVTs and set up all the infrastructure is tens of thousands of dollars.
So I think the expenditure is worth it, definitely.
It just a question of whether or not it would hurt anything else if we put on our
I mean, this is aimed, if you read the literature of the grant, this is really aimed at, and Bill said it exactly in his email, this is exactly aimed at us.
Yeah.
So they would expect, a reasonable expectation would be us finding, you know, much smaller solutions to this sort of thing. It's possible.
Certainly worth a try.
Yeah, it's possible. But, I mean, as far as saying we're not going to give you Nomex pants because you want a kin, you know, that they're not punitive like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think. Warren?
Scott? Three things real quick. First of all, I've been out quad riding with one of these built-in GPSs. I've been through every canyon in 20 miles in any direction. They work great. All the time, you know, you can be in a canyon this narrow, and it will still pick up a signal and tell you where you are. So far and above, with the exception of the apps that you get off the phone aspect, we should have GPSs in them. Second, we have to have it medical, too. So we have to put one on our standing EMTs vehicle. Remember, we had a mishap with that a few months ago. Partly he was led in the wrong direction, but he's not familiar.
I said that, the Rescue 81.
Right,
right. You mentioned that, right?
Right, so okay. Lastly, is the database for the roads and streets where there might be a fire call on updated so that you could put in these very small roads and the database would actually know it. I've had some issues with that where as I'm traveling on the GPS, I know it to be XYZ road, but the GPS says something else. So if you're putting a search parameter in for wherever the fire call is, it may not recognize where it is, even though it has the technical ability. I don't know if there's a way to update the database of the surrounding roads.
No, we don't. The specifics of your question, we don't own that. The county has a GIS department or desk or something, and so like I get emails from them all the time. Hey, we're going to put in a new road, and this is what we're going to call it. So that function exists, but it's up to them to make sure it's reported wherever it needs to be reported. That's way beyond our scope.
No, how do you get that into a new GPS?
What I'm saying is a lot of them are wrong. I don't know who's responsible, but if you get it and it works, it can bring the down piece.
But
down, you can still put it in and it will bring you to the wrong place.
Ultimately, there's a sequence from the folks in the county naming a road to it. Becoming part of the GPS.
Okay, hang on a minute. I think that there's two, the GPS system that's programmed that's in the satellites is based on input from the county. And the program that we have that Joyce has made that identifies all these small streets that probably is not included in that yet, as she presents that to the county, the county will then assess what's there and confirm it. They don't just accept her input, but they go and take a look at what she has done, and then they include that in their GIS programs. And as she completes this program that we have in that one Kindle, and that has, she's like 90% done, but she hasn't done like Heavenly Heights and some of these other places. And her map includes driveway entrances and buildings and things. So she is, as she finishes that, she's giving it to the county if they ask about a particular area. And ultimately, that information that's in that map will find its way to the county and then get up to the GPS. But you're right, the GPS satellite will not tell you exactly where these new streets are.
So you went and you didn't find it. You put in the address of the call, and
it's not there.
They have the technical ability to know what it is, but they can't.
But at the same time, we're familiar with the area. You have Roger, and you have local knowledge in terms of what we're trying to get to. And the best we can do is we have the map that Joyce has in the Kindle. If you give GPS 90% of the time or 95% of the time, they're going to be accurate. There'll be a very small percentage of the time that they're not. And then if you have the cell phone booster, then you have these phones, then you have the capability of phone communication.
Is the database for the phone different than the database for the GPSs in terms of the names of the roads and things like that?
No, it's the same. It's the same GPS system that they tap into.
So if there's a mistake on one, there's going to be a mistake on the other.
Absolutely.
I don't know the percentage. I haven't been up every little road here, but I know in my tooling around that it's –
The county maps are it's not just a little bit off. They're bad.
Right.
You know, and they are trying to fix it. Old Walker Road is a good example. It was shown in the wrong place, and they've fixed that as a result of this the lawsuit that was going on. Okay, so Roger is requesting or suggesting in his report that we have boosters for the cell phone on these trucks. I'm sorry, Rudy.
I just have two comments and then one question here. But we're looking at the worst case, right, like you said?
Absolutely.
You just don't know where it is. 10 people here have been here forever. You just don't know where it is. So the cost of the GPS system that works, you know, we're not going to fix the GPS problem right now. I can't think of a reason why we wouldn't do that. I just can't. After I got the email there, but there can't be a downside. My question is, on that application, do they pick and choose? If you have 10 items, do they say yay, nay, or you didn't get the whole thing?
As I read through it, I did not see any mention of cherry picking. It's possible that they do, but that's not evident from the documentation I have.
So right now we're thinking it's all or nothing.
Right.
We don't know, but that's
and I'm not sure, and this, in parts of the grant world, this matters. You know, if I throw in three of these boosters and three GPS,
yeah,
if we're adding, let's say $1,100 more in gross to the grants, you know, that, based on the estimate I have, that puts us up at about $5,000 in grant money. You know, $10,000 in expenses, $5,000 in grant money. I don't know if that's too small. They may kick that out for being too small. That sort of thing exists.
Well, the question is, if you're going to apply for something, why don't you just apply for the $20,000?
Well, that's not really.
Well,
you can't.
Go ahead. Let me finish. If it's all or nothing, then that's a whole different way to approach this thing. If it's pick and choose, then apply for 20 and hope to get 10 or 12.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what you're doing right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it'd be good to know how to do this before we send the application in, or how that really works, is my only comment there. Because, you know, like I said, if you're thinking you're not going to get 20, at least get something out of it. But then again, then you're applying for things that maybe you don't need.
Right.
You know, we don't want to do that either, you know. But I think Russ's comment was a half price right now is a deal that we can't turn down. So I'm all for this.
Okay.
My last question is, would we do this without the grant being out there, being available for the stuff that we're applying for?
Most of this stuff is budgeted expense that comes up every year, or almost every year.
Yeah.
We spend money on these things. One of the things that Indian Bag... one of them is broken.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, we've got a couple, but that kind of thing. I just noticed, actually, Rudy, to your point, the way you're supposed to do this,
yeah,
is one sheet of paper for each of the things that you're applying for.
Well, maybe they will agree.
And yeah, it says, and so you need to prioritize.
Do that.
We
need to prioritize.
Yeah, we need to prioritize. Okay. So the wildland stuff might be first or not.
Yeah.
The communication stuff might be first, the wildland might be second, that sort of thing. So it is possible that we could put in three different forms and only get approved for two of them, or one of them, or none.
No, it's not the money that's the priority. It's the item itself that's going to dictate what our priority is.
Okay. Right, right.
Well, that makes a whole lot more sense.
Okay. Well, then in summary, Roger suggested the boosters, but the board, if I understand you, prefers GPS, at least would like GPS, not that they don't prefer or are not in favor of the boosters. So with that thought in mind, Chuck, do you have some suggestion in terms of what you would think about to do? Roger's also saying we don't want to put all this equipment in all the vehicles, but three gives us the minimum, you know, the ambulance, the first response truck, and then either the Type 1 or the other truck, bunker truck that goes.
So if there's two of them, if we're getting two of them, Rescue 81.
Right.
And the structure engine.
Okay. And if you get three, then you would put it on?
Probably Patrol 80 would be.
Patrol 80, much. Okay.
Yeah. my suggestion based on recent experience is that we definitely get it on our medical truck because, and and these new GPSs are, I mean, they're really $200 to $300 bucks. Mm-hmm. And not only do you get the direct feed, but you can actually mark paths on these GPSs so that you can, if you go there, you can enter it into the GPS and you have that residing in the GPS. So I don't know how long it resides in there, but based on the new ones, whether it's reactive, they split screen, they do a lot of different things. They don't, they may not find every new road, but, you know, the county is a little bit slow. I had, unfortunately, an experience with this last week, and, you know, I thought it would have been a great idea for everybody to have knowledge of where a house is. Roger does know that. Not everybody is aware of that. And I'll be quite frank with you that even Blackline doesn't. I asked them point blank. You guys have GPS in the vehicles? No.
They need help out here. Okay, so
your position, Chuck, if I understand it, is the GPS. What's your position on the booster for the cell phones?
I think we should have both, and I believe that whether or not the grant is accepted on this, I think you have to be specific, and we're working with some things on far right now. It always is specific, but I do believe that we should have at least three. I believe the boosters are good for the phones also, because I think you should be able to communicate. And if the grant doesn't pass, I think we should still spend the money to buy the two.
Vic?
Ditto.
Yeah, sounds good. Makes sense.
Yeah, I'm agreeing.
Ditto.
Yep.
Roger, what do you think about that?
Like I said, I mean, I'm not going to say no to more gadgets. The utility for it is obvious. I'm not going to repeat the whole thing. The utility for it is obvious. I think we can be prudent. We don't need them in every truck.
And
for years. It's not like it's the right time.
What in terms of then a tablet? What about a tablet?
Well, we've got the Kindle.
In this package.
Yeah, well, I mean, we've got the Kindle. I think my Matt always brings one when he comes on a call now.
Right.
I'm about to buy one. I think we can kind of hold off. Most of the group has smartphones in terms of app stuff. And my plan, not expecting this to come up in the conversation, my plan was, again, at the annual meeting to grovel for a tablet.
Okay.
That worked last year, so maybe that will work again. If not, we can revisit that idea.
Well, at least tablets were like $80, $90.
Probably a little more than that, but
yeah. At Costco, I think I bought mine.
Whatever, I forget what it was. Yeah, for kids. Okay, I have a motion then for somebody craft a motion to buy our. Well, first off, this is a motion.
Unless
to.
A motion.
I
think we'd have to create one that would say we would authorize Roger up to $5,000 to spend towards items on this grant, and that would be a net five, which would be $10,000 worth of equipment.
Yeah, I mean, I think if there's a motion to be made, I think it's about the grant.
Grant, right.
Not about the.
But go forward with the grant with a maximum of $10,000 spent, something like that, because that's something you couldn't approve on your own.
Right.
Well,
right.
Give them the authorization up to $20,000 because that's the size of the grant,
right.
But knowing that you won't do it. So we need a motion to approve the submission of a grant to this volunteer fire assistance program.
I'll make that motion.
Okay.
And do we want to put a dollar figure on it, was my thought.
It's $20,000.
Oh, you want a maximum of $20,000.
Right, that's giving them the option.
I think.
Right.
Is there more you could put in here that theoretically would be useful?
I think right now, we really would be kitchen sinking it and I think wasting money. I mean, there's serious diminishing returns.
Right. My concern.
Okay, we have a motion from Rudy. We have a second?
I have a question before we do that.
You have a second? Hang on a minute. Get a second and we'll discuss it. Okay, Scott seconds. Okay. Discussion?
What is the time frame on this grant, in other words?
January 31st.
Submitted by January.
Right.
And what would be the
They've other? Actually set an expectation of hearing back in February.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I can't believe that will be correct, but that's the expectation that's set.
If you have read this stuff, have you read it? If you read it, it is very simple.
Yeah.
And when you read it and you say, oh, my gosh, it's like they've been to our fire department and said, we're writing this directly for you.
It's federal money administered by the state of Arizona, if that answers your question.
Yeah, okay, so now there's a motion and a second, and there's discussion. Is there any other discussion about this particular? This is a motion to apply for the grant. All in favor?
Aye.
And it's the sense of the board, then, if I understand it right, to Roger, that you can include in that a request for what you think is necessary in the terms of boosters and GPS. You know, the board has talked to discuss three. If you think that you need a fourth one, of one or the other, or you need two of one and one of the other, it's totally up to you at your discretion. You're the operations guy. The board supports whatever it is that you're about to do.
Okay.
And other items, though. I mean, what was the
yeah, right, whatever.
The other
thing?
But
it's all on there.
So if
okay.
comes up and you recognize when, within 2 years, we're going to need this stuff.
I think you might consider four. When we do our, during the summer, where the people run around just looking for fire prevention type things, it might be useful to have one of those on board. Is that going to be one of the three that you are already going to get?
Now's it. Lobby Roger later about what you want him to buy on. Committee reports. Fundraising.
Did we move on the fire chief's report?
Yeah. Well, why do we have to have a motion accepted, I guess?
Motion.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. But it's important. Okay. There's a motion and second. And how about discussion? You want to ask him about the ISO? AB something he has to do. Nothing we can do about
it.
If you need us, if you need anything from us, let us know. We'll do it.
We'll try to do it.
Okay. All in favor? All in favor?
All
right. All in favor of the motion to accept the fire chief's report? Say aye. Yeah. All right. Fundraising committee.
That's Rudy and I.
Yeah.
We're working on that.
Yeah.
We are going to, actually today we should probably set up a charter and put this thing together and basically make it official. We'll call it the fundraising committee. Concept is any dollars that are coming into the fire department, anything that has to do with raising funds, we'll kind of, we'll just want to be aware of it. I mean, if it's a dance, anything like that.
Do you have that written down yet?
I guess we're going to start.
We'll just do it next month.
Okay.
All right.
Don't forget Betsy Rogers.
Yeah, I did.
Okay. Yeah. Did we come up with a name?
Betsy needs a name.
Okay. Yeah. Just 1, 2, 3 my way through this here. We're going to do a calendar of all the events that we talked
That's
about.
That's important too, right?
We're going to formalize this committee as such as the fundraising committee. Whatever.
WFPA fundraising committee.
And then essentially our task is to oversee or at least have all the information related to fundraising funnel through the committee. That's kind of our mission statement.
Right.
Okay. Go ahead.
I do have one question or a thought, and I'd mentioned it in one of my emails. Vic at one time had talked about pledges, and just as a thought for you guys, so that when we have this grant, future grant process, where it's a 50-50 or 90-10 or whatever it happens to be, rather than is it a potentially a good idea to ask for pledges to cover these costs? In addition, I know I don't want to separate out for individual accounts, but if we have something that's off in the future that we like this 90-10 with the we're going to have a $4,000 commitment for these turnouts, if we got a pledge from somebody that said, hey, if this grant comes through, I'll give you the $4,000, or 10 people give you $400 in addition to what they would normally give to. But you, when you have, you know, because you had brought up the idea of pledging, you know, trying to get an anticipatory
talking about multi-year pledging.
Right. Okay. All right. That's just
interesting thought, though.
I'm just throwing that into your mix. Okay.
Right.
Bylaw committee.
You want to do that here, or you want to do that?
Bylaw committee.
Two places.
Okay. You're a committee, so do it.
Okay. So the bylaws, which I was planning on having, unfortunately, the last week and a half has been a little bit unsettling. But I have most of that together. And I want to ask a question, and it was one of the things that was brought up earlier. I know this is probably a lot of work, but because we have a membership, would we be able to tell, and could we be able to tell, who's putting money into this department? Or that gets a check from Mr. Smith, is that checked off on Mr. Smith's account that he actually sent a check. Do we have the ability, this is going toward the bylaws for membership, and who's going to be voting and who is going to be voting? I'm trying to put this as simple as possible, but I was thinking about this. Because we are going to have probably two people per property. We're looking at that. We've been all over the map with the bylaws recently. One person for per parcel, one person only, two people, and I think we've settled on two people. But in the situation where we have monies donated, is there any reason why we wouldn't be able to designate, okay, we have a alphabetical listing of all of our members, money comes in, okay, that person has donated, okay, that person. Okay, but we don't have that right now, is that correct? Or could we have that?
Yes, we can.
You're just talking about a list of donors.
Yeah, no, it is. It's something that can be brought out of QuickBooks, but then it sounds to me like you're talking about a qualification for membership, that there is some
qualification for voting.
For being a voting member. You're going to have, that's going to be a big discussion. I don't think we're going to solve it here.
No, but I'm just asking, do we have that information?
Yeah, well, the information is available if you need it.
Absolutely.
If you need it.
Okay.
If you need it.
Okay, that's where I was going with it.
Okay.
I've reviewed the 2010 thing that Whittington has done. You know, what's really hard is trying to simplify something in the complex, within the complex of the recent bylaws.
Well, those things can be completely changed, right?
I know, but, you know,
yeah.
It's trying
or to... you could go back to the 2001 bylaws, which were just five lines and forget about it.
Don't we currently support?
And we operated fine.
Yep, that's right. Well, my point on bringing this up was, as members of an association or members of the thing, as a membership, if we wanted to take each donation, let's say people made $300 donations, and each one of those persons making a donation, a membership fee would be on that, so $10 or $15 or something like that. You check that off, so you know that this person is a member of this association. That's where
okay.
I'm going with that. So I know it's a big discussion.
Okay.
I just wanted to.
We just need to have something to operate from, so we can start getting input about those topics. Okay. Okay. Firewise. You guys got anything new? That's you.
Nothing. The grant has you used up all the money from the grant stuff, correct? Up till now.
One of the grants is complete.
Okay.
Sure.
The one that
the other grant has a few bucks in it.
Okay, gotcha. Gotcha. And
you've
done a good job
using
most of those funds, right?
Yeah.
You got a pen?
Yeah.
I've got some applicants pending.
Gotcha.
Okay.
I think our neighbor, maybe. I'll talk to you about that. That's good. Yeah.
He's done.
Just hang on to it for a minute. You give
it. That's what I meant. Yeah.
Thank you. Okay. Anything else about Firewise? Volunteer of the Month recognition, Lauren, that's you. It's long overdue. I got you a little thing there for you can hang on the wall. Eventually, we actually need a trumpet fanfare, you know, the Herald trumpets and that sort of stuff for the work that you've done this past year. This is just the beginning of the recognition for you for what you've done for this community. It's a lot of work.
We used to do it in color, but we can't afford the ink.
Yeah.
It's not only for a lot of stuff to be removed from this community, but the bringing it together of the community.
Absolutely. Well, we appreciate it.
The other thing on Firewise is, I don't know if everybody is aware of it, but we have a training class. It's a free assessor class, the 25th and 26th of this month in Prescott.
I think Roger had that in his report.
Yeah, right? I mentioned that.
He mentioned it.
Threw you under the bus to offer anyone to call you for a
detail.
If you can't make that one, there's another one in February in New River.
Oh, New River?
Yeah, they can come to Western National Shoot then. What's the date? When in February?
I can't answer that. It's 20-something.
Okay.
30th and 31st.
Okay. Okay, Old business, monthly year relations at work newsletter. You're still working on that. You're doing it on a regular basis.
It's gone out. The old one. It just went up. The second one went out a little bit later. The third one. These are actually every 2 months.
Every
60 days, right around there.
Yeah. Okay. Fine. Just
razor edge here, but the other one, number three, will go out. I'm thinking sometime in early February, which is about 60 days, and that'll keep us from conflicting with our April newsletter.
Okay.
So we'll give it a little time in between. But,
okay.
Do you even think it's necessary to do one during April, or why not?
Yeah, because it's just, I want everybody
to keep that consistently going.
That's coming.
Okay, makes sense. Okay.
Over time, I think that'll happen.
Welcome information for new owners. I think that Chuck, you know, you overloaded yourself here at the beginning of the year. So,
my person dropped out of working there, and so I kind of sit on the board. And unfortunately, I don't know if you're aware or not, but she had some surgery on her eye, and she's been kind of living busy and
tell you what, life comes at you fast sometimes.
Yeah.
All right. So, do you need help with this? If we can try to find somebody else to help you, what's happening?
Yeah, you can always use a little help.
Okay. And so, who's working? Lauren, has it been Betsy? Who's been working on this for you guys?
Well, we did one with WFA several years ago.
Right.
We went out, collect a bunch of stuff, and put it in a white bag and.
Right. Oh, okay, you're talking about a welcome wagon type of reception. Yeah, rather than, I thought we were just talking about information for that.
And then the WCA did one a couple of years ago and gave folders with information, emergency information and fire department information and
Firewise,
all that stuff. And the realtor, Sharon, was handing that out. And apparently she's run out of them. I just found this out that she's run out of these.
Okay.
But we've been holding off because it looked like there was going to be some kind of effort here.
Yeah. And that's where I was going with that. We wanted to try and reduce some of the information that was, but increase some of the pertinent information for that. So I just had pretty balls.
Okay, so you're both in limbo, right? You both have
we're having
volunteer
issues. I've got a list of stuff that we've included in the last one.
Right.
Basically, it's just a matter of
and
folders and giving to somebody to give out.
Okay.
Some of these details is who's going to administer this, who's going to handle
it,
how we're going to contact these people.
Okay.
So on. So there's a lot of
it's certainly something we want to support, I believe. That's a consensus.
Whatever
form it takes, we need to get behind it. Okay. Fire safety education. I don't know why that's in there. Is this something that's been carried on? Is this something that you had we're talking about? I think this is a continuing. This is part of our charter, I think, is to make sure that we have fire safety education going on. Your Firewise has been doing some of it. But I don't know that we have any committee to do that kind of thing. So I'll just table that and see if I can get my act together about what we need to do about fire safety education. Things like have a smoke detector, have a fire extinguisher, rake the needles back away. Those are the kinds of things that will show up in your welcome packet.
My wife could supply. Red Cross has already done 8 million.
Yeah, there you go.
On the stuff. I mean, you don't need to redo anything.
Yeah, right. It's just a matter of getting what's available. Okay. Red Cross. You just volunteered flow, right?
Yeah. I think that's what I heard.
They call it. Okay, bylaws. We already discussed the bylaws. The nonprofit language for operating procedures. Do you remember what those three things were?
They are. They're the conflict of interest, and they're also the retention of records. And don't ask me.
Whistleblower. Well, the conflict is included in the bylaws.
Yeah, they pretty much, and I have all three of them, and so I was planning on having all of them.
What has been our practice for retaining records other than we have them since Christ was a corporal in here?
I mean, it's really a small little policy. So.
Right, it's just a paragraph.
Yeah, well, a couple of paragraphs. Nothing much to take a second. Yeah, I've got several examples, and we can, I
He did?
He did send out another email, and I...
About this language or operating procedures?
Yeah. Because he sent out an email. I sent out about three or four emails.
I didn't see it.
Anyway, so I was going to talk about that under interaction.
Okay.
But I have the three, so I need to massage them, and I can get them actually out to you in the next week or so. And I'll just email it to the
board. Well, we're operating fine. It's just a matter of, you know, if it's somebody ever comes and takes a review of it, then we'll have to see how come you don't have those things.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can I ask one quick question? Sure.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't want to get yelled at. If Chuck comes forward with bylaws that have some form of you have to give or volunteer to be a voting member, I would just be curious for a straw poll of what board members would support that, because the previous one didn't support it. I did. I'm in concert with Chuck on this one. Before he does a hell of a lot of work and does all this kind of stuff, if we're not going to support some form of giving and or volunteerism as a criteria for your right to vote for the fire department, then why are we putting it through all this?
All right, that's a good question, but in turn, okay, what's your answer to that?
We haven't had to have it up till now. I mean, I guess if there was some real essential reason, I'd be okay with that. And does it also mean that we would have to change our articles or not?
No.
Okay, because I know in the articles it says that a voting member, doesn't it tell?
Yeah, but it's easy to describe it in the bylaws.
We could throw in the bylaws.
Yeah, or whatever it is. Okay.
Sure.
Yeah,
I'm not crazy about it.
My sense is it'll never pass if you can include some sort of a membership requirement.
As long as you can track it.
My question is, if you go back and you look at when votes were taken in the past, what percentage of those vote givers were not contributors? If you say, hey, virtually 100% of them are paying money, then it's a moot point. If you say, no, 60% of them are voting and they're not. So I'd say to see whether or not it would carry, we should better understand if it's a problem or not.
We don't have that ability.
No.
We don't have that ability. My guess is, having been here for 18 years, is that the people who show up at the meetings voted.
Mm-hmm.
People who showed up at the meetings generally support the fire department.
Right.
So, you know, you may have a good point in this situation.
Yeah, I like the idea.
It's part of the emotional crap that was going on before. So, all right, Rudy?
Roger? Yeah, we looked into this at some point quite a while ago before things blew up in 2008. This was looked at. And I don't remember what, wasn't there some sort of legal obstacle to restricting? I mean, I may be wrong. But I guess the thing would be to just make sure there isn't some sort of legal obstacle.
There is no legal obstacle.
Okay. So it's whatever we decide to do. Ready?
I haven't thought about this much, but no tote, no vote, no dough, no go.
Okay.
I think there is some merit to it.
Nope, I understand.
But bear in mind also that I think what Vic is saying and several people have supported, you know, if you put it in the bylaws, at least you'd have it there. Does it necessarily mean that we have to adhere to that? Is that, you know?
I would think so.
Some members
are
going to
demand it.
That's just the way the life is. Okay. Let me just ask you guys in general, find me any nonprofit organization that allows people to vote that don't have something in the
break. Skin in the game.
Yeah.
Right.
They're unique, man.
There
like
is not. No, I don't like it at all because it goes against nonprofits. I mean, an organization, people who support it are the ones who determine its direction, period.
So so if we back that up into looking at what has happened over the past years, if we actually had implemented this into our bylaws, is it going to hurt us? Because we obviously have people who are already supporting the fire department
sure.
who are interested in doing that. They will be the ones that would be paying, and they're the ones that are going to be continuing to pay. They're the ones that are going to vote. So I don't know that it could hurt us. But let's play with the vote, and I'll write it out.
Okay.
I don't know that it could hurt us.
Well, if you're going to take four pages, like Corral, it's going to take lots of time.
No.
Go ahead.
Yeah,
what were we called? There was like five words for... voting member.
At that time, eligible to vote.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right, the acronym.
ATT.
Right. Let me reiterate. seems like we're putting about $10,000 in our pocket each year, and we're running a great department. We've got people that vote on a good board and all that. It seems like the system's working. I just wouldn't want to.
I don't know. We've hurt ourselves. It's sort of like, do we want to put these policies and procedures in place for conflict and for worker retention? Do we? Chances are we've had some of that in wording before, but really never do we actually need it. After looking at them doing some of the research, and they say, well, you know, you should do this, but chances are you don't need to do this.
Well, if it's a requirement by the IRS that you have these three particular topics covered, then they need to be covered if and when they ever show up. Okay, so you're going to do the bylaws. And like I say, in my sense, it would never pass if you have some sort of requirement for membership.
On the other hand, if you're looking at people who have always continually given in this group, and I think that they would be then, I think it would be a verification that they really
support. I mean, okay.
So,
even this board apparently would be supportive of it. As a straw poll, I haven't.
No,
you're
me.
Saying you don't.
Not
you would not be in.
No,
okay.
I'm not crazy about it. I'm not.
All those that would be in favor of it.
Yeah.
No. All right. Would that be something that the board would vote in, or that the?
Once the board, if the board takes a position, then the board takes a position. Right. It doesn't do any good for those of us that don't agree with what the board's position is to go out running around with a sword.
I guess what I'm saying is, does the community have to vote on redefining it?
Right.
Our opinion is of limited importance.
Yeah. That's right. And
we have
this is one of the hot buttons. This is one of the hot buttons that started some of this crap. 2 or 3 years ago?
I don't think so, Bill. I really don't. I don't think so either. I honestly believe that you're giving some credibility and integrity.
Okay, that's fine.
I can't imagine anybody getting up and giving a passionate speech on why they should be able to give when they haven't given anything or helped.
What is their point?
I mean,
okay.
I need to vote because I don't.
All right.
You just pull off.
All right.
No. Damn it, I'm still talking. We can pull off the list of people who've given, and that's who votes.
Sure.
Okay.
You just count the people who drop a $100 check in.
Sure.
And it's a bingo.
Right.
Okay.
I'm going to put that into my next newsletter.
Interaction with legal counsel.
Okay, so that was the situation. I had a long talk with one company.
Oh, Lord, sorry.
Excuse me. I had a long talk with them a couple of weeks ago. And the issue came up about, you know, whether we were going to have another counsel or whatever, and also what our expectations working with this legal counsel are. I think he said, well, you know, do you think I should attend the next board meeting? And I said, well, that's certainly something we, the board, would talk about. We can try to do that, because are you going to charge us for that?
Yeah.
They normally do charge by the hour. His hourly rate is $150. But he said, you know, if you want me to come to the board meeting and discuss what our involvement with the board, how we see that and what our charges would be, so I'd do that for nothing. But the issue that I was discussing here were several. One of them being what are our expectations of our council, and if we want to involve our council more in, so that this person not only just receives an email here and there, but occasionally, once or twice a year, sits down and says, what are we doing here? How are we actually perceiving the things that are going on? So they get a feel for what's going on. And I think that is one of the things that might be missing in this whole deal with our corporate counsel. So I take it with a grain of salt, you know. Bill and I talk pretty plainly with each other. He knows, hey, they're going to go out and research something that's going to cost some money. You know, do we want to spend that money?
and he's pretty blunt about it, and he doesn't necessarily have the feeling that he should go off carte blanche and do that. And it's a matter of more communication within the structure and the confines of the board with this individual. So the reason I brought that up is just specifically for that. Does he need to draw these three policies? I don't know. We can probably find those. Warren sent me a copy of one. I pulled off some other ones. And there's plenty of information out there that we can actually digest. Do we need to refine it through? That's what the suggestions are on the various nonprofit agencies. I looked at it and say, okay, you should put these into place. These examples would be good, but you might want to pass them by your corporate counsel before you actually nail them down. That would be up to us. I'll put those things together. But how does the board feel about actually having our corporate counsel attend a meeting or two a year? What's the feeling here?
What would be the advantage and benefit to doing that? Just offhand.
Having this individual getting a feel for what's actually going on with the board other than just receiving an email, it's pretty hard to judge what the feelings are when you're just on the other end.
And he's not charging us for it, so there's no downside risk.
Well, he would charge us for attending a board meeting.
He would.
Just for attending. It's an hourly rate.
Okay.
I just can't see the need for it.
I know. You're just throwing it out there. You want to know what feel-finding technique here. I just don't see the need for it. In fact, I still feel that 90% of our legal paperwork and all that can be done through our pro bono guys.
You're just against everything.
In the community. Man, I'm a nickel saver.
Okay. I talked to Bill Karosh this week about this IRS thing and about this topic with Whittington. He says that his suggestion is that you don't need to change counsels. You know, we can go to Whittington for whatever legal issues that arrive that really need somebody to have write letters, and I'm not even necessarily write letters to when something is happening. I discovered something this week. We had a mediation on Wednesday with a guy named Mike Murphy, who's a lawyer in town, and this lawsuit is involved with Wayne State. He represents VBIS. VBIS, whatever they are. So no matter what happens, if we were to get sued, we go to Whittington and he comes in to represent us, as soon as the insurance company is there, Mike Murphy's going to be here representing us. He's going to be the guy representing the insurance company. Whittington is not going to do anything other than just be a liaison between us and that insurance company. Karosh said that a lot of these things that we can ask about, letters and things that they're willing to do, both not only Karosh but Wayne Pickens, is fine. And you only go to Whittington when you have some kind of an issue to discuss, or the corporate lawyer, whoever it happens to be. And I have to tell you that my reaction to Whittington's, the way he has treated us in terms of the work that he's provided for us, is we have ended up behind the power curve at least three times in the past couple of years, where he has shown up with his document the day before we needed it we have no opportunity to discuss it. The idea of this thing that happened with the Corporation Commission and the non-publication, you know, that's certainly in his camp. And the straw that really broke my camel's back was when he wrote a contract for the communication system downtown that included all of us, and then he came to us and said, well, we should go get some legal counsel to review that contract before we signed it, other than him, because he had a conflict because he was doing it. So in my view, he has not really represented us in a way that has been acceptable to me. But he is, as everybody points out, the guy that's most knowledgeable about district fire departments. And we are a private corporation which operates differently, not necessarily in terms of the fire operations, but in terms of as a corporation. We have a lot of discussions here that are not allowed in district offices. So that's just my view of Whittington. We have, as John points out, one lawyer who's been pretty consistent and willing to talk to us. And we have another one that's here. He's also done some things. I've referred people to him, and he's been very helpful for them. That's Wayne Pickens, who's also a tax lawyer, corporate lawyer. So anyway, that's my view of Whittington's fine, but we should funnel everything we can to these pro bono guys if they get us in trouble, you know, they have licenses too that are at risk, and then we go to Whittington for contract.
That's one of the reasons why I wanted this on the agenda, was for the very reason that you have just so eloquently put out. Now, if we were a corporate entity and we hired a corporate lawyer, we wouldn't be going out for, you know, Joe Blow's advice on this. We would be bringing our corporate counsel in and attending meetings with us and knowing what's going on, and we'd be paying for that. Now, either we decide as a group that we want a corporate counsel and that one is worthy of paying him to do that, or we just throw the thing out, because I feel like if I take Rudy and say, Rudy, you're our corporate guy, and I really like you a lot, and I know you're charging us a break. John, can you write this thing up for me? Because you're not going to charge me shit for this.
Right.
Oh, by the way, Rudy, can you approve that?
Yeah, we've all been there with the scenario you're describing.
I mean, that's where we are. We look like a couple of chickens running around without our heads. And I'm looking at this like, are we going to be a professional organization and say, okay, here's our corporate counsel, and we're going to involve the corporate counsel in our affairs, or are we just going to throw this stuff off to people who don't charge us anything because they don't charge us anything? So that's where I'm going with.
Okay. Russ?
You know, I called my attorney, and I asked him to research something. I expect to get a bill. And I think the question is you know, are we using them? If not, then we don't need them. I am a little miffed because, you know, I ask questions about things like the IRS, and I'm doing that on behalf of the board, and I don't get an answer. And when this goes on from August until January, that's an issue for me. If he would have been my attorney, I would have fired him 3 months ago.
So
I do that on behalf of everybody here, right? Because this is what we're asked to do, right? And I didn't get that bugs me.
Scott? Well, I think on the last failure to communicate, we discussed that on the last meeting, that it was a series of events and where they were actually trying to look out for us and what were the costs.
After
cost. So I don't see that there was negligence, because there was some communication to you. If anything, the failure to communicate was on our part to get the update to everyone else, but it was that issue was not in neglecting us. It was simply us not understanding who was trying to save us money on
it. Not quite. On the publication piece, I told them to go to the Courier and print it, and it still took another 6 weeks. And they didn't go to the Courier. They went back to the Verity, and that's where we had the issue to begin with. I told them what to do based on the board.
So it was twice the cost for the Courier. That's why they went to the Verity.
Yeah.
So we were okay with twice the cost?
Sure.
That's what they were trying to do.
Because we were already behind, and this should have been done in August.
And
they didn't have a decision.
Okay.
I don't even know what we're really debating, quite frankly. To me, Scott, I'm sure you're the same way. You had different lawyers for different things depending on what it was, you know. We should have the same thing. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, if we have a issue we want to answer and we can get it free and it's not corporate, you know, it's something that's going to come back and kick Firebarn as a whole, let's get it for free. You know, but I think the board, we've already decided it's going to go through you, will determine what that is at the time and determine what avenue to go to. Then we can have a debate whether who's the right attorney to use. But I'm sure you've got a lot more than one attorney you go to, because everybody has their own
specialty. I think we solved the problem last time. Chuck, you're the go-between, right? Any issues you're responsible for, mm-hmm. And if we get to the point where the board feels we should change attorneys, we'll discuss it again. And I'm not advocating that we don't use pro bono. I'm not.
Okay, sure.
Okay, Roger?
We're the client. Whatever we want in this relationship, that's how we proceed. Do the small stuff with the pro bono, whoever's qualified, and like we talked about last time with Chuck being the liaison between us and our attorney, when such time presents itself, go to a legal person, then Chuck would do it based on our input. But, you know, keep that minutiae stuff that we can keep to ourselves and do internally.
keep that away from the guy that charges us $300 an hour.
Okay.
That's my opinion.
And boy, does that add up fast.
Yeah, it does.
All right.
But I guess my other question that I was, do we want to have him here once or twice a year? That good, bad, no, yes, no?
I started that off by saying I don't see the need for it.
Okay.
If he wants to come just to be here, he's already on the distribution. He gets everything the Walker board gets, right?
But I got to tell you, I've been on a lot of boards, and I've never had the attorney come up with me.
I was just saying, whenever there's a pending issue that we think might be relevant that he wants to, then we invite him in. But if
I agree.
If there's not,
where he could help direct the conversation.
Correct.
Okay.
I'm not advocating spending more money than we need to.
Right.
Okay. I skipped the Walker trash collection service. Okay.
Yeah.
Number bins. I added the sixth one.
That was thank you. Yay.
Wow.
I took pictures and I mean the last time around before you did that, you couldn't get a little thing in those things.
Right.
No,
right.
None of them were locked.
Yeah.
People were throwing crap on the ground.
Yeah.
They're still, you know,
ice all over the place.
One of them locked just 2 days ago.
Yeah.
Dangerous. And, so I'd like to make a motion here or get the board's take on this. You know, because we are a nonprofit organization and we are making a few bucks on the garbage bins, you know, I plowed this parking lot and that thing was last time it snowed. And since then, it's been nothing but a sheet of ice. I've slipped. She slipped. I know other people slipped. We don't need a liability suit on this thing, and why can't we just allocate a few bucks here if we have a firefighter who's willing to come and shovel some cinders out in front of the... I did it once. I can't do it again. But, you know, what's wrong with us spending a few bucks just to put some cinders down in it? Because when you get out of your car there, it's nothing but a sheet of ice, and if snow falls on top of that, it's going to be worse.
So what's your motion?
My motion is that we put together a $500 fund or something, or... that we can have maintenance on these so we can have cinders.
Let's just have a load of cinders brought out and dumped right before.
Right,
I'm going to say, when the county brings them out, could they dump some there?
No, they're there. They can't be. Okay.
They're already there.
All right.
So should this be thrown over to the trash collection guys?
Okay.
Whose responsibility is it, really?
Well, I've been doing the trash, so
yeah.
But,
well, then.
But you guys have been doing a lot of the yeah, I know. Well, I'm not here.
Dan and I
I'm
have
not
been
here.
Plowing. Dan will plow the front. He no longer will plow the back. I've plowed the back.
We can plow the back.
Okay. But, we need to find, overall, a consistent person to come and do that. That's not just a volunteer that says, okay, I'm not going to do that anymore. So there are several guys with tractors that come and do plowing. I don't know if we want to contract with them.
I don't care about the plowing, Bill. Just, let's get
yeah, the cinders down. Okay. Yeah. My thought was I was going to get old Keith, but Keith does so much I didn't want. He has a little tractor with a scoop on it that he'd come down.
What you need is there anybody with a pickup truck that does that you know, has one of those bins on the back that just holds a little lever and.
That's right. Okay.
You know, I haven't seen anybody around in
right.
the area with one. This is not a big snow area. You know?
I think the money in terms of operation of the Walker Trash Collection Service is easy enough. We don't have to have money from Walker Fire.
Right.
We just. Need to. I just need to find somebody to get out there consistently and spread cinders. I don't know if it's what, or if it's what's his name up here on the hill. Does somebody, Roger? Do you have somebody on the
This is a point of information. I put cinders out here where we park. I mean, it was 10 minutes for me to buy that.
Right.
I just grabbed the bucket out of the thing and
Are you okay?
Can I make a suggestion? Can we?
I can't just do that with the dumpsters. I mean, it's I can't ensure 100%
every time, right?
Every time, but I mean, it was literally 10 minutes for me to go in the back with a bucket. If I have a bigger bucket, it would have been only 5 minutes.
Right.
Could we get a very simple caution, icy, slippery sign up there? When there's lawsuits, it's usually from lack of putting yellow cones up or putting some sign or anything like this. Is there some
big yellow sign?
Yeah, big yellow sign, slippery with ice.
Sign of somebody falling.
At the end, it would get stick in the ground there to remind people that it's there. It would also help our liability if there ever was a suit.
Well, I think we can probably go. And I wonder if Patriot would even put something on there. On their right on in front of each of their dumpsters. Okay. Slippery. Okay, so what I'm getting there is a sign. And Roger, did you just volunteer to put the cinders down? Or do we need to get somebody else?
Yeah, it's 10 minutes.
Okay.
It's good exercise.
No, it's true.
I'm probably 6 months away from that being a problem. So.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Last time I did it for the dance, I did the whole parking lot. It took me an hour because I did the whole parking lot with my hands.
Right.
Okay.
Go ahead.
You shoveled the whole parking lot by hand?
No, I mean I shoveled the thunder call.
What did you say?
What's the ground cover there? Is it AB or was it AB at one time?
Yeah,
is it still good or does it need to be refreshed?
Right now it's mulch.
Because if it's mostly just like flat mulchy dirt, then maybe we just need to think about throwing a layer of AB down there to make it easier to deal with that surface.
Well, I think that's one of the things we've talked about was.
Something bigger.
Yeah.
A little more chunky.
Right. Okay. So I'll take care of signs. I'll get signs. And Roger's going to do the senders. The other problem is
when you're plowing, you're going to move it off. Yeah.
That's fine. Then you have to replace it.
Correct.
The other issue that's been consistent is people leaving those damn things open.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And dumping construction debris in them. But
Christmas trees.
Yeah. Well, Christmas trees I think are probably
I'd
rather have them there than out burning someplace. So. But you could actually almost say that that's a household garbage thing. But I know.
Prune them down a little.
Prune them down a little, whatever. Or burn them in your fireplace. And I don't know how to address that without actually having some sort of trash police,
Well,
we have the camera. The camera is here now.
We're just putting a new router in here, so we have a camera.
Yeah, but then we're going to sit in front of your computer and watch the garbage.
Well, something
good.
Okay, but what happened to that router? Did we get it installed?
I think he had some issues.
There was he came to do it in some sort of technology thing that was beyond him.
Yeah.
He's waiting for Nick to help.
But if somebody wants to come and go through this VCR, the recorder that's up here, we can probably see. And if you see somebody down there that's doing it, for sure, let us know.
We pulled up one day and I had a pickup truck here and came out.
And you missed it. And you missed the license number.
I couldn't get out of here so fast.
Oh, you got the license number?
We didn't get that one.
No, not that one.
Okay, if you get a license number, you call me. I can run the license plate. I can figure out who it is and we'll report them for theft of services.
I know it was a green Dodge pickup.
It's not minor. It's a big issue. We're in the garbage business. It's just.
We're not happy to be in it all the time.
We got 6 grand a year.
Or maybe more.
And Bill can be harangued all year long. I think it's
That's fine. Okay. But anyway, that's what's going on with the garbage. I understand.
Somebody competent to run that company.
April newsletter. Okay, new business. April newsletter. I called for Craig.
Sorry.
His name's Vic. Vic just volunteered to run the trash. And we Shad and Linda are down there too. I mean, it's not like they're. It's just. Okay. And she just had her shoulder operated on. All right. But she takes care of the people and call on them and that sort of stuff. She calls herself the trash lady. The April newsletter, I called Greg Stava to see if there's still interest. He and Lonnie, he had offered that, I think, before. But it's time to start thinking about it. We'll need an article from the treasurer for the secretary, like this one that we showed out here earlier.
I'm sure Greg knows we don't need to do what he did in the past, though.
What's that?
I mean, we all agree. We all need 45 pages of crap.
Well, you're going to have 45 pages because you have the candidates. That's the other thing we need to that's the next thing, is it's a newsletter about what the activities. It's the candidates that are for the board position. Right. It's four of us that are running. Are you running again?
Maybe not.
Okay. And what's his name over here is not saying anything about it.
Smirking.
So you won't commit.
For the bios.
So
candidate bios.
So we need the candidate bios, and you need at least four of them or more. I mean, you can always have a nomination.
Yeah, there was so much stuff in there that didn't need to be in there.
Okay.
Well, we can trim it down. It doesn't have to be a full-page press. It could be four paragraphs.
Mail that behemoth.
Well, maybe you couldn't, but I could do it. I was the president.
So we get all these advertisements, and we hire to send it.
Okay.
It costs more to send it than the money we got for the advertisement.
Okay. Well, we need to form a nominating committee. to find candidates. There's form that was sent out with an email. It's a simple thing, but it's one of you guys that has
got nothing else. That sounds like me.
Just Bill. Just
yeah,
like
I got
where my hands are right now.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm fine.
Okay.
I'll send the memo to Chris and have him put it out there.
Right. We have
already looking
who's
for.
Who's up for election next time?
Myself, Russ, Scott, and Chuck.
Well,
that's a stressful thing.
Okay, so
wants to be treasurer. Right?
You're going to do that?
Sure.
And then you know that's not a bad
yeah.
topic. That's not a bad that's not a bad conversation.
I give up.
Dick, it's not a bad conversation to have for this year because this is your last year, unless you're going to run again, right?
No.
And
this
find somebody.
This is my last year. I don't believe.
No. You have one more year.
One more coming up.
You have one more year coming up, but at the change in June, you might. Consider finding a new treasurer.
I'm more than going to consider.
Yeah. And then that way you'll be around for the year to help the new treasurer, and then we can do some sort of a transition
right.
process rather than just come in cold and learn it like
you
did. You
shouldn't be that much trouble because
yeah.
it's not
pretty
that
streamlined
big,
now.
Now they're streamlined. It's
right.
not
okay.
a big deal.
So the April newsletter, we're going to call Greg and see if he is that we need to get, and we can shorten our mm-hmm. input.
Shorten that, to, yep.
Yeah,
like an
to make it easier.
Critical.
Okay. Okay. Then facility maintenance. I think that we had a question during the month about the gas bill, and I think. Huh?
Go ahead. I'm listening.
Did we resolve the gas costs?
Yeah, I'm sorry, Chuck, when I fired him. I know you love me. Anyway.
Okay.
Fire Flynn.
No,
yeah,
not me.
Could we fire Flynn?
Yeah.
Well, the deal was they were charging almost twice retail than anybody was selling it at retail.
Right.
Only because nobody was watching me. And you're right. I wasn't watching until all of a sudden I did watch. I'm like, yeah, well, that's absurd because
yeah.
we want a company that's
okay.
fair with us. How could they justify that?
$4.30 a gallon.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. So, all right. The question then becomes the treasurer's watching the bills. Do we need to have a facilities? Do we have somebody who's going to be responsible for the facilities to be responsible for that kind of thing, the gas? I don't know what else.
There's not that much to it, though, right? Other than gas.
I don't know.
What
is this something you want to pass to Roger? Are we going to have one of us be involved in that?
I like
what's
the sound of that.
The parking lot, you know, in terms of who's going to, does it need to be swept? Does it need to have AB down on it? Whatever it is. In terms
Mark
of
Heron, historically, hasn't he been the parking manager?
I don't know that he's ever done anything.
Oh, I understand. Okay.
This... to me, sounds like the type of. I don't have someone in mind, but I'm quite certain that you know the stuff you're describing. There was someone who would love to do this, just kind of keep the place running. You know, in terms of thinking about who you know, that's a big deal. Keeping the firehouse, you know, running.
The Tom Sawyer thing,
isn't it fun? I mean, relative to treasurer and fundraising. I think that's an easy, if you want to create that type of position, I think that's a very easy one to find someone to fill.
You have someone in mind?
Nope.
Okay. All right. I know you thought, oh, and so-and-so just retired, and he'd love to, okay.
Well, do you want to look?
I can, sure.
Or we can just have Chris put it on the web, looking for someone.
Does anyone know Rick Baker?
Yeah.
He kind of does this sort of stuff at Yavapai College.
Oh, you're kidding.
And, or at least he was. I mean, at one point he was working there. I don't know much about the dude, but he was working at Yavapai College.
You want to put up with Rick Baker on a regular basis?
I don't know that it would be putting up, but if someone was willing to do the work and kind of has a... I mean, I may be wrong. He was definitely working at Yavapai College in some similar capacity.
I think that's a great suggestion.
Does anyone know him, though?
Yeah.
Okay. Can you reach out to him on that?
Sure.
Okay. I don't know him well enough.
That's a good idea.
So really, let's flesh it out completely. We're really looking for someone that just basically looks over the property and says, boy, this gutter is falling off, and boy, another load of
A-bull
and
needles.
Right.
Somebody other than Dan Houck, I suppose.
Right, but they don't necessarily, they're not going to necessarily look at the price per gallon that we're paying for Flynn. That's going to really kind of have to be a treasurer thing from inside. But someone that would just kind of keep an eye on the stuff out here and, right, like that apron thing
like
that you dealt with.
In front of the
that would have been good for somebody that dealt with the property thing.
Yeah,
like, this is an issue.
Yeah.
You know,
from the track, I'll
on the way out of here, I'll stop and talk to Rick.
Sooner or later, I'll
okay. Right. Well, again, you just had to notice it and say, wait a minute. So, what How did you resolve that? I'm just curious.
You know, it's funny because, well, Chuck, remember you sent your email. They never called me back. I told them what I wanted to talk about. Nobody ever called me back, so I'm going to call them back one more time because I got to tell them not to deliver anymore.
Mm-hmm. And is it their tank? Do they own it? Or do we own
it? Doesn't make any difference.
If it's their tank, they will not. And somebody else can have
correct, it. Correct. And if that's the case, honestly, I would be all about, I bought my own 500-gallon tank, and it was, I don't know, $1,000 or something, but I've saved in 5 years as my break-even was, you know, 2 years ago.
Yeah, well, you sent me that email. I don't think we as a fire department, nobody's got the time to call everybody and make a deal.
Oh, you have no idea how much time I have.
Right, exactly. I rest my case license plate now.
Okay. Okay, so we'll try to find somebody to be responsible to
LPM.
Just monitoring what's going on here in terms of the facility, right?
If this guy doesn't work out, let me know. Maybe I have somebody in
here. Okay. Yeah. Well, if you do, that's fine.
Sure.
He just had his shoulder replaced, too, a couple of months ago, so I'm not sure what he's doing.
Okay.
Find out a thing is Fred Sanders.
Yeah.
Find out a thing is Fred Sanders.
We found the first guy that'll just do temporary cinder spray.
Right there, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Okay, community announcements, FireWise.
Actually, I may have a piece of business. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Kind of awkward, but do you all need to reinstate me, or do you only need to vote to boot me out? Because this would be the month. If you need to do it annually, you need to do it now.
Actually, that's supposed to be on the...
Well, actually, I think that we changed that.
No, they changed it to mid-year. The middle of the winter.
I vote you're here for life.
Serves.
I mean, it's possible that there is no vote unless you're kicking me out.
Right. That would be in the bylaws or not?
That'd be done in executive session anyway.
But I can't remember. Where was that information found?
It says the fire chief serves January to January.
Yeah, okay, gotcha.
January to December.
I vote that Roger keeps serving.
We can't talk about it.
That's right.
I mean, there may not be a vote.
There may not need to be one.
You're firing me. Right.
I understand. Right.
And I had one more piece on the question regarding garbage. I hate to keep garbage stuff.
Okay.
But we have a full year's annual $180 renewal. We have a 6-month, and we have a 30-day.
Right.
So if I am a customer who says, I'll pay the 30 days.
Right.
And
you got to trust them.
How do we know this person is going to do
you,
that?
You got to trust them.
Really?
If you find abuse, if they are cheating, if you know somebody that's cheating.
I don't want to.
If you know somebody that's cheating,
oh, I would.
You turn them in. I'll call the sheriff and I'll prosecute them for theft of service. I'm telling you, I have no qualms about doing that.
Wow. Okay.
Cut the brake line.
You know.
How about putting an announcement in the newsletter?
You don't need to tell people that they don't
do anything illegal.
Don't do anything wrong.
Right.
You know. I mean, that's just stupid.
All right.
You know. I mean, I'm serious about that. Right. If I take somebody out there, I already called them once because I caught a guy out there. They didn't do anything about it, but.
A warning.
I think a warning is a great idea.
Well, they can do whatever they want to
start,
do.
You know.
I have a better idea. You got our camera. Take a picture and put it in the newsletter. These people were caught putting their trash
and here's the problem.
And send it out to the neighborhood.
They're voted off the mountain.
Here's the problem with policing. That kind of stuff is that, you know, if you catch somebody that's your friend and you just say, oh, well, you probably shouldn't do that, and then the next guy you catch is somebody that you don't like and you say, wow, wham, and you ram it down their throat, and it takes a lot of energy to try to find people that are violating your rules.
Yeah.
And I personally don't have the time to sit around, and I don't want to take the time to sit around, and if they got a 6-month subscription and they're dumping in November when they shouldn't be dumping in November. If it really is an issue, then we'll address it. I think we're okay. This is the first year that we've had these smaller dumpsters, and that's kind of been the reason for the overflow and the fact that somebody is abusing the dumpsters. And I have no problem with the same thing. If I find somebody abusing the dumpster, if I see somebody dumping construction stuff, yeah, I'm going to call the sheriff. I'm not going to argue with him. I'm not going to talk to him. It's, you know, it's a theft of service, and, you know, the sheriff can make the decision about what they want to do. I may be hard-nosed, but that's my life. You know, I put a lot of people in jail. I don't mind doing it again.
Is there more than the one lady in Potato Patch who goes for the month?
No.
Okay.
It's the only one. Now, but sometimes at the end of the year, when there are people that are like new subscribers, that they bought in November or December, whatever it is, we just get $30 from them to do it. Right. But she's the only lady. She has that annual party
right. And
does that. But, yeah, there are a lot of six-monthers, and there is a room for abuse. If you know people that are abusing them, I'll call them first if you let me know who they are. You know, there's a lot of people here that already don't like me, so.
I do like my smaller dumpsters, by the way. That's nice.
They're not as hard to reach. To get in
line. You can get the lids over with that.
Yeah, right.
Everybody keeps throwing the poles away that people put out there.
The lid. Where's the lid? Yeah.
Well, yeah, you know.
One thing they pick up is the things.
Right.
I got to get signs when I'm running.
Okay. 1 minute, Bill. Go ahead.
Community announcements.
New business. Can we talk about those letters, or I don't want to dwell on this every month, the letters for the
I thought you were just going to do that.
No, you know what?
You're going to cost $600.
I'll stick
right.
About
that was it.
You know, that's what we want to do. Then, you know.
Letters. Do you want to just explain that?
Make a motion.
Well, we've got the gable end here of the firehouse. Remember, we're going to put some tents, all these letters out there, or Walker,
volunteer community fire department, yeah.
And pay them and then mount them. Real simple deal.
So
it's about their high density resin. Like I said, they'll last longer than this building will. It's about $600, and some nice spring morning we'll go out there and paint them up.
Rudy and I will paint them up and glue them up.
So I just need to know if that roughly $600
thing is.
I'm fine with it.
All right, if you ask for this kind of stuff at the end of the meeting, everybody's going to agree.
Oh, I'm glad.
I waited.
Fine.
Okay. All right.
Wait a minute there. Okay, I don't think you need a motion because we have discretionary spending up to $750.
Right.
So if you
want
to
do it. Nice for everyone to know what we're planning.
If anybody objects to that, now is the time. Chuck, sorry, I didn't see you. I'm sorry, I was standing over there.
Most likely we'll bring...
Community announcements. No Firewise, no WCAA. Anything going on? You want to start your coat drive?
We're not going to start it yet.
People still need them.
Okay. Public forum. Is anybody?
Sit on my coat when Victoria's around.
Anything you say to us in terms of
public forum?
If you could allocate the money for concrete pads to put the dumpsters on, you could put them on the north side of the parking lot where the sun would actually melt the ice. People walking around.
Right.
Without the concrete pad, with the block up the back of it, people would be pushing the dumpsters into the creek.
Mm-hmm. So is the dumpster guy.
All right.
Maybe so, right?
Mm.
I don't know if that's a good idea.
Well, Patriot won't. If you put them on plastic on concrete, they won't come.
Oh, really?
They'll take more.
Interesting.
Why? Because you got to put
them
back in the concrete the same way you do them up.
Yeah, they break. And then you have damage, and then, you know, so, you know. Yeah.
Well, you got to have something that would stop it being rolled.
Right.
Okay.
All
right. Anybody else have any public forum thing to say?
I'm on the board, for God's sake.
I would like to. I know, but I'd like to thank the fire department for showing up at my place.
Beautiful.
Hair. You
debated about that.
But.
All right. So, do I recognize that address? We're not going.
Well, they didn't recognize the address. So. Are we submitting a bill for the ran over our rock wall and knocked it down on the driveway?
Really? A fire truck did it?
I think it was Roger.
I was not the driver. I'm sorry.
I won't get that report.
I was in the back yelling, go around to the other way, go around to the other. And it didn't go through that tiny little hole from the back of the rig.
Thank you, anyway.
Thank you.
All right, well, I'm sorry to hear that you had have that kind of a call. Yeah. Jeez. Okay, any discussion about any of those comments from the public?
I'll make a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Second.
The
them, you've got one.
Really? So we'll take it.
Right.
Here's one thing I'd like to write down before you pack that away. A vehicle that's broken down on Big Bug with a busted front, probably like control arm, axle, bad. It's been there for a week. I don't know if it's a stolen vehicle. Somebody was out. You could tell they were out money. Oh, I thought I would just give you the license number off the top of my head.
No, just call the sheriff.
Okay. All right.
I can't do anything about that. I mean,
I thought you could pull the license.
I could pull the license.
Yeah? Okay. I just don't want them getting towed if they're planning to fix it tomorrow, you know?
It's
been there a week.
Yeah, it's been there a week.
You could tell they were buds. This thing is covered, but I thought maybe somebody was joyriding in somebody else's vehicle.
Yeah.
Whenever it died, they just got out of here.